Right. Get all the technology sorted. And okay. Well, I want to really finish off by talking about embassies of heaven on earth. What it is to actually establish the kingdom in such a way that we're living in an overlap of heaven on the earth, and what that means in terms of being storehouses for the harvest. So I want to share a few of my encounters, really, which have stirred my destiny and stirred me to go deeper with all this. In 2013, I was encountering God, and he took me out into the solar system, and I was floating out there in the spirit, and I saw the world, and the world was in front of me like a big football. I'm looking at it, and I start to see it. The world is spinning around, and I start to see it slow down, and it stopped. And then I saw in this picture all these lights arcing over the planet. And I know those lights were God inspiring people to begin to get a heavenly blueprint and form a government of that blueprint on the earth. And then the whole thing started spinning in the opposite direction. And I believe that was symbolic of what happened in August last year, which was an end of a 40-year period in which that God had given a generation an opportunity of crossing over, like the Jordan, into the promised land, going beyond the veil, engaging heaven, beginning to bring heavenly government onto the earth. And that ended, and then we've now begun a new day, which is why we're now, a Moses generation died in the wilderness. God doesn't want anyone to die in the wilderness, so everyone can cross. But there are forerunners like Joshua and Caleb who have crossed and are now encouraging others. And you know, many of you are here because you're forerunners. You've experienced things and you want to embrace it and encourage others. So, you know, I was taken out there, and really that stirred my heart to see God's government established around the world. You know, that's really what caused me to be willing to travel. Up to then, I wasn't really willing to travel anywhere, because I was very comfortable sitting in my office online, being able to connect with everyone all over the world. I didn't have to go anywhere. But actually, when you go to a place and you look at the atmosphere of the place and you begin to engage people in a place, something changes. You know, when I went to the Northwest last year, it totally changed the whole governmental perspective up there. And now they are operating in ways that they even didn't think possible within 12 months. So I know going to a place, you know, so that the angelic realm opens up and God can start moving people. So I really believe God wants to establish heavenly government, which we call Adventures of Three, represented Father, Son, and Spirit, on the earth. So he wants to release blueprints for cities of refuge or embassies of heaven or storehouses. And I want to talk mostly about that tonight. Really, it caused me to want to develop relationships with like-minded people around the world. And I feel that's what we're doing today. You know, we're establishing relationship connections. I don't want to do anything without relationship. You know, I don't set up a structure. We have no hierarchy. I just want to get alongside people and help them walk things out. You know, so, you know, if you want relationship, then I'm keen to be involved in relational type things. The whole kingdom of God is about relationships. You know, it's not about hierarchical structures or organizational things. It's relational people gathered around God's purpose to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, I started the whole Engaging God program, you know, to engage with people and help be ready for when the harvest is coming. I don't want to miss a whole another generation and not be ready for what God wants to do. So, you know, it really stirred me to action, which is why I wanted to do that. Now, you know, after 3 days after Bob Jones, who prophesied in August 1975, a billionfold harvest, which began that generation, when he died, 3 days after he died, he turned up in our Sunday meeting. Now, some people think, ooh, dead people. No, he's living. You know, he's a spirit who's alive in heaven, who's enrolled in heaven. And just like some of the men in white linen turned up when Jesus was around, like Moses and Elijah, so there is precedent. Jesus okayed it. He didn't turn around and say, I can't talk to you, Moses or Elijah, because you're dead. Right? He had no problem talking to them. And so he turned up and he had this fiery scroll in his hand. You know, so I was sort of looking at him. A few people recognized that he was there. Some people were totally oblivious because we're all at different stages. But I was very, very sensitive to him being there. And I mean, I thought, okay, well, he's offering this scroll. It's going to be really rude if I don't take it. So I went and took this scroll. And immediately I took it, I knew it was for this billionfold harvest. It was like, not that I'm responsible for the whole thing, perish the thought, but it was for my part in that. And it caused the desire of my heart to be turned towards that even stronger. You know, and a week later, in the same place, in the same thing, I was worshipping God, and Jesus turns up, and he stands there with another fiery scroll, and he says, you cannot see the scroll for the billionfold harvest at work unless you accept this scroll for the Joshua generation. So I took it, and you know, then I took it to our bench of three and said, look, you know, I've taken this, but we need to okay this. It's not just for me, this is for us. So are we comfortable with that? And we said yes, and our bench of 12 then we said yes, and we went into heaven, and we actually took the scrolls and accepted that responsibility for our part in what that means. Now, everyone's got a part in what that means if you embrace your destiny and start to look to fulfill what God's doing. So in 2014-15, and I say 2014-15 because it was New Year's Eve, and so I started 2014 and ended in 2015. We always gather on New Year's Eve just to engage heaven and see what God wants to do for the next year. And I get downloads. I mean, I just love going into that place because I just sit there and it's like, just get downloads. I just write reams of stuff as God shows me things. So I was there and God took me into the temple in the heavenly realms, you know, where the train of his robe, Isaiah 6, where that whole picture of the temple there. And I was engaging there. And normally I just go and engage the altar and present myself for the fire of God. But I was standing there and the seraphim were there. And the seraphim, I mean, they were looking at me, seriously looking at me. Like, I was freaked out by it. I mean, normally I just engage God. And the seraphim were looking at me with eyes burning. And I started looking around and I saw all these maps. And my eyes are normally just fixed on Jesus and that's it. I mean, I'm not really bothered too much about what else is going on. But I started to look around because I was like, why are they looking at me like this? So I started looking. I see these maps. And some of them were like interdimensional maps. Some of them were maps of the world, but nations, but not necessarily drawn with the boundaries that men would draw. So then they basically showed me this golden bow and arrows. So I sort of thought, okay, I'm going to fire these things. So I started firing them into the maps. And they had red cords attached to them. And ultimately, these red cords went into the US. And that was what I saw. And I saw this pattern of government. And God said, oh, here's a pattern of government which is going to be replicated around the world. So many of you have seen this, but that was the map. And so the first arrow fired up into the northwest. And then I saw this pattern, and the last one went into the southwest. And it was about seeing God's government established in these four corners, representing the four faces of God in a sense, but to form a perimeter around the nation and to connect people across the nation. Now, since I've been engaging people, you know, I now have some people who are engaging in the northwest and in the south, whatever that is, southwest and the northeast, and they are meeting together. And I'm really looking for someone from the southwest to meet with them, because they're meeting together to engage heaven for the nation. You know, and I'm not saying, they're not saying, well, we're anything special, because no one knows what they're doing, and it doesn't matter about anyone else knowing, but they're actually seeking to see God come and fulfill his purpose for this nation, and then for beyond that. So that was something that really inspired me, and that's really why I've traveled over the last few years, because I needed to be obedient to this. And I know God wants to establish his government here in the Southwest. Now that may mean in lots of different places, in lots of different ways, but there are blueprints in heaven waiting to land, and they're looking for people to say, hey, I'm willing to take one. You know, and you, as I said previously, God would rather have an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. So we don't have to be experts. You know, I have a big L plate on my back, a learner. You know, because I'm learning all the time, every day. You know, And I hopefully everyone is, because God wants to give us revelation and experience, and then outwork that on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, as I said yesterday, I think, you know, I was at this conference last year, and Joseph and Joshua came and stood next to me, and Enoch and Daniel behind and in front. And that whole experience was to, I believe, strengthen this way of reaching people to establish a Joshua generation. So that Joseph established storehouses in Egypt for 20% of the harvest, then the whole world came, because that was the source of life. And I believe God wants to raise up his people so that we will be that source of life to the world when all the stuff starts to shake and things are not so good as they are now. Because there was seven good years and then there were seven bad years. And in the seven bad years, where were they going to go? To the place that had the answers to their famine, which was the wisdom of God to receive a harvest and then have that harvest be ready for the world. That harvest is not for us food, it's going to be people. People who are going to carry the anointing and the power and the presence of God, who are going to operate in heaven and outwork that in earth, operating in a totally new supernatural dimension. We're not talking about just earthly miracles and signs and wonders and all the stuff that we should really be doing anyway. We're talking about operating in a totally new level of heavenly authority. In fact, living under the government of heaven on the earth, not subject to the laws of this world, because we are coming from a higher kingdom realm. And God wants to establish that. And Isaiah 2:2 is a picture of that. It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, which is the church, will be raised up. And I'm not talking about the institution and the religious institution, but I'm talking about the true ecclesia of God, that are people gathered around heavenly blueprints. That's what people do to gather around God's purpose and establish it. They will be the chief of the mountains. So none of the other governmental things in the world will be raised above the hills. They will be just like hills compared to the mountain of the house of the Lord. You know, in the UK, we don't really have mountains as such. We have a few big hills, which are a few thousand feet high. You know, when you see Nepal and Mount Everest at 28,000 feet or whatever it is, you know, compared to our hills, that's exactly what this is like. You know, all the governmental systems of the world will be shaken, and only that of the kingdom will remain. Therefore, we need to see the mountain of the house of the Lord raised up. And a mountain is a symbol of authority. And what does it say? All the nations will streak to it. When you have the answers to the world's problems, whatever they may be, they're going to come. Because they will be desperate for answers when all the things they put their confidence and strength in for answers to live are no longer giving them what they need. They're going to be looking for the light. And we have to demonstrate the light. So many people are going to come and say, come, we need to go up to that place. Now that might be a place which is a home. It may be a city. It may be groups of people come together in a region. But it's going to be a demonstration of heaven on the earth. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. And again, nations will come to the light and kings to the brightness of your rising. As we begin to radiate the light of God and all the wavelengths of light that means, you know, there may be physical manifestation of that, but there's certainly a spiritual manifestation of that. People will be drawn. People will come to the light. But we have to shine. And the only way you can shine is if you're allowing that light which is in us to come through us and radiate from us. And God is calling people to come together to begin to demonstrate this. So God has been calling to a generation who've been through the wilderness years, which most of us could say that's us. You know, we've been in the wilderness. We've been in the church systems which don't really work. Even the good ones are not actually bringing the restoration of all things, because they've not been operating according to a heavenly mandate. He's calling for the Joshua generation to arise and shine, to cross over, engage in heaven, take possession of their inheritance. Now, the whole world is our inheritance. You know, Jesus is calling us to fulfill Adam's mandate. He's calling for pioneers, you know, not just explorers. You know, going to heaven is not just a tourist trip and having fun. It is fun, but there is a serious side to it. The responsibility of sonship to actually bring the government of God from heaven to the earth. We need to occupy the land so that we can restore this planet to its original condition and purpose, because Jesus will not return until the restoration of all things. So whatever God's original intention, because God spoke it out, it will be fulfilled. Now, I want our generation to be part of that so that we can see the next generation, so that these three generations can start to come together. Not one generation refusing to pass the baton to the next so that it stops and then the next generation has to start again. We need to come together so that there's a multiplication of power. That's why God has threes of government. He wants three generations to be governmental. And so he's calling us to arise and be forerunners. And the purpose really is to establish, and there are many different names that people are using. Some of those names probably got old connotations to them, which really don't mean what people think. So some people are calling them apostolic resource centers, habitations of God, gardens of God, cities of refuge, storehouses for the harvest, embassies of heaven on earth. So I'm really going to focus on the whole thing of seeing it as an embassy of heaven on earth. And there's a way that sort of unveils things. But that we'll really be living in the overlap of heaven on earth, so that on earth we live according to heaven's government, not earth's. And that means that we have a higher government, higher spiritual authority. Whenever Jesus did a miracle, he was exercising heavenly governmental authority to super navigate or stop the laws of this world and superimpose over the top of them a greater authority. So this world might have death, but he could raise people from the dead, because heaven has a life which is greater than spiritual or physical death. So in everything, heaven has a higher authority, but to engage that, you have to be in heaven. Most of the time, what we've been doing is being on the earth, calling out for God to come. And he's been actually calling for us to come there, because he has already rent the heavens. Jesus has come, he's gone back to heaven, and he's opened up through the veil of his life a door for us to go. And Jesus has gone as a forerunner, according to the order of Melchizedek, as a royal heavenly priest, as our high priest, to call us to come into a royal priesthood which is operating in the realms of heaven, so we can outwork that on the earth, which is challenging to the old order of things, because you can't do things like you did. And what God is actually doing, you know, I said the old Moses order has ended, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, it just means the authority has been removed. People will start to find that the old ways that they've done things will stop working, because God will be saying, I'm not in this anymore. And if you're going to make this work, you're going to have to work really hard and use the power of your own strength, because I'm not anointing it anymore, because I have a better way. I have a heavenly way. Come up here and start to learn new things. So we're in that place where we're at the point where things are going to start to get harder in the wilderness, which hopefully will encourage people to cross over and come into their promised land inheritance, which is a heavenly position of governmental authority, living under that higher spiritual law. Now, I want to share with you some of the legislation I've been doing in preparation for coming here, and in general since January, when God spoke to me and said, will you give me time every day to legislate? And, you know, when I started doing that, it was like, wow, this is a lot of legislation that I'm making. What am I going to do with it all? But, you know, I started to do things from heaven, and I started to decree things, call things forth, establish laws that then enable me to do things. So I want to just share the things that I've been saying, doing on a regular basis. I call into the region of the Southwest, and that has a dual meaning for me, because I live in the Southwest of the UK. And so it was really strange that God said, I want you to establish something in the US before you do something in the UK. So I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem very fair. But, but in reality, the more you give away, the more you receive back. So it's been a blessing to be able to connect with people here in the US. And I found such hungry people, you know, more hungry than they were in the UK. The UK's starting to catch up now. But, you know, so I've been calling into the region of the Southwest for the wells to be dug and the fire of heaven to be made ready. Because they're not going to be wells of water. They're going to be like oil wells that God's going to put a torch to. Let the heavenly call for governmental authority of the order of Melchizedek be answered. So I hope people here are going to answer and say yes. I call for the mandates and blueprints to be prepared and released for the government of each area for new heavenly order ecclesias and embassies of heaven to arise. I call for the limitations to be removed and the hearts, eyes of the hearts, to be opened to the glimpse, the reality of heavenly potential possibilities. There is way more than we can imagine or think, and God is starting to give us glimpses, but he wants to open our eyes to start to see more. So if you had a glimpse, it's a sign that God is going to give you more if you're willing to follow the glimpse. I call for faith to arise and all the distractions of the enemy to be exposed. We so easily get distracted by earthly things. And we get caught up in doing earthly things and actually forget that it's that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing in heaven. So I call for the priorities of heaven to envision the hearts of men and women to be drawn to their eternal destiny. Let the maps of men be redrawn from the perspectives of heaven. Let new boundary stones be set in place and the foundations of the perimeter of the Southwest to be established. I call for beyond the veil to be the dawn of a new day. I call for the glory of heaven to cause the rising and shining of a new order. I call for the light of a new dawn to break forth and the frequency of heaven's sound to be resonating between heaven and earth. I call for the alignment of the royal priesthood of heaven to release the oracles and legislation to be the foundational government on the earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I didn't figure out what that was. I just said it. And when I say things like that from my spirit, it from heaven, I journal everything. So I journal everything I say, I journal everything God says. And I would encourage you to do it. You know, listen, journal what you hear, but also speak and journal what you say. Let it flow from your spirit. Because when your spirit flows, you're flowing out of a perspective that's coming from the heart of God, rather than coming from a perspective of, well, I need to figure out what I need to do, so I'll come out and make some sort of declarations. You know, I just flow in it. I don't try and figure it out. So I saw some things in the spirit realm when I was looking to come over here. I started to see maps of men being reshaped by the frequency of heaven's call. Now that may mean that people move from one place to another because they're drawn to the place that their destiny needs to be fulfilled. See, Jacob had an amazing encounter under the open heaven and saw Bethel and saw that this was a place none other than the house of God and a gateway of heaven. And God told him to live in Bethel. And because he was a herdsman and because Bethel was a mountain place, he chose to ignore God's instruction to live in the angelic realm in an open heaven. And when he left there to go and find pasture, he had nothing but trouble. His children, you know, you read the story of what happened to his children. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but it was a disaster because he was living in the wrong place. Make sure you're living in the right place, the place that God is calling you to fulfill your destiny. You know, don't decide where you're going to live on the basis of a job or anything else. Base it on the place that God is calling you to fulfill your destiny, because he'll provide. He'll give you what you need to outwork your destiny. So God is going to reshape people's thinking about where they should live and where they should outwork things. But God is going to make connections. So I started to see the Southwest map with heaven's government on it. and started to see various things. I started to see pillars of fire. So some of those wells that God is digging, he starts to put a torch to it, and there are pillars of fire. And when those pillars of fire join up with other pillars of fire, it forms a canopy of fire over God's region and starts to cleanse the atmosphere. So we need to actually start to see who's going to take responsibility for those wells. So I started to see scrolls coming out of heaven, carried by the prince warring angel of the southwest region. There is a large angel that is responsible for this whole southwest region. And what I saw him doing, he was giving out scrolls to the angels of the cities of refuge or the embassies of heaven that are going to form. So there are so many scrolls in heaven ready to be released to land on the earth. God is just waiting for people to say, I'll receive a scroll. I'll receive a mandate to establish something new on the earth according to heaven's blueprint, not earth's. You know, we've been building according to earthly blueprints for generations. It's not changed the world. We need blueprints that come out of heaven, which will change and transform the earth. I started to see angels of the whole new order of ecclesia calling for willing hearts. I saw them with trumpets, you know, these heralding things, and they were making a sound calling for men to respond, to come and rise up and accept the responsibility to establish these embassies on the earth, to establish ecclesias which are going to be gathered around a heavenly blueprint. You know, I started to see new portals open up over the whole region with new scrolls which were for mountains of creativity. Now, I don't know what that means. It's not my responsibility to find out. It's yours. But I saw things opening up which were going to bring a new form of creativity into this whole region. And I started to see heavenly mountain thrones being invested with people and authority to open up the everlasting doors. You know, there are very few everlasting doors that are open which are between heaven and earth to pour the glory of God out. Now, most of what we're seeing is people outworking their destiny, in a sense, their anointings and various things. God wants to go way beyond anything we can ever imagine or think in terms of his power. When the everlasting doors are open, the King of Glory can come in. So we need to start to see that take the place. I started to see God calling for the Joshua generation, the Enoch, Daniel, Joseph generation to arise, take their heavenly places, prepare for the harvest by establishing those storehouses. You know, I started myself to call for blueprints of heaven. You know, for the scroll house, there's a house of scrolls in heaven that have got scrolls on them for everything. So I'm privileged to be able to go there sometimes. And I started to call for blueprints from that scroll house to be released onto the earth. So I started to call for the alignment of those 12 chancellor's houses for the whole southwest region. Because you have to align them for everything that you want to see happen on earth as is in heaven. I felt called to do that. So I call for the precepts and statutes and laws of God to release the ordinances of heaven to bring new mantles, new weapons, new scrolls, and the discovery house, which is another of the chancellor's houses, to be made ready in preparation. Because there are going to be things needed for cities of refuge on the earth that have never yet been seen. The mysteries are hidden in darkness for us to discover. And there are power sources and all sorts of things which are inventions, most of them organic rather than technological, which God is going to use to equip embassies of heaven to live on the earth, not subject to the circumstances of the world. So when the power grids are no longer functioning, you know, we can do some practical things. You know, we can put up some solar panels, we can get some wind turbines. You know, if we live by water, we can get some water turbines. But the reality is, we're going to need a new source of power. Now, when we have power and no one else has got power, where are going to people want to live? Well, they're going to want to live where places where there's power. You know, let's say all the water systems get polluted and there's no fresh water. What are people going to do? well, what are we going to do? We can't all by then sort of turn around and say, oh God, will you help us? What we're going to do is we're going to open up the aquifers of the deep, because we have a precedent. God did it, opened up those fountains and let water come up, because there's more water under the earth by far than's on top of the earth. Yes. Why is it there? Because it's waiting for us to tap into it and use it. And there's so much more to a lot of things than we realize. God is wanting things in heaven ready for us to begin to engage them. We don't want to be unprepared for what happens. That's why the Joshua generation operates as sons of Issachar, who know the times and seasons and know what to do. In advance and ready, prepared. God is going to shake things in such a way that everything is going to start to fall apart. Now, I'm not talking about doom and gloom stuff. It's not punishment. This is just shaking where people's confidence is. So they're not putting their trust in earthly things, which are no longer going to work, but they're going to be drawn to engage heavenly things. So that when we have all those answers, we're going to start to see them at work. So let's, for instance, think of some plague gets released from some research station somewhere where they're developing these things, and all of a sudden this incurable plague hits the world. People are dying all over the place. And we live in total health. And we have precedent for that sort of thing. John G. Lake and people like that. You know, no disease would touch him without dying. So you will have millions of people wanting to come to places where they can be either healed, live in health, or actually where people are being raised from the dead. You know. So some of Hollywood produces all sorts of stuff in films that are designed to start to get us to think about what it would be like if things aren't the same as they are now. I mean, I love those things. I mean, I'm a sci-fi geek. And so I just love things that take us out of the box and get us to start to picture things which are beyond what we're experiencing right now. So, you know, Hollywood is a place where there's a portal of creativity there. Now, I'm not saying that everything that comes out of that portal is interpreted correctly, but a lot of it actually is inspirational because it's picking up a prophetic atmosphere. You know, I'm not saying things are going to happen exactly as they are, but, you know, when you start to see loads and loads of zombie films, you tend to think, well, what would happen if there was a plague that turned people like that? Well, we would need places that would be able to heal those people and restore them. And we would need to be not subject to that ourselves because we live under a higher law. So, you know, there's so much that we have to get ready for. We cannot keep assuming that everything's going to continue as it is like now. So we need to be ready now, having heaven's blueprint to prepare for when those things take place. And, you know, I'm sort of going off on a few rabbit trails now, but when I went into heaven first and I shared my testimony, God gave me a quantum physics lesson. You know, as I said, I wasn't really into physics, but now I understand why God was showing me how the natural and the physical realm interact and how the spiritual realm actually keeps this realm in order. You know, the power of God's voice vibrating in everything is the fundamental building blocks of everything, string theory. You know, string theory requires multi-dimensions to exist, otherwise the mathematics don't work. Well, we know there's multi-dimensions. You know, we know there's at least 7 heavenly dimensions. We know there are other dimensional places that all go to show that God actually, Jesus knows how to use the spiritual laws that he's created that keeps everything in place. When he does miracles, it's not magic. He uses spiritual law. So, you know, as I said before, when I asked him, you know, how he walked on water, he told me that he controlled the vibrational frequency of the water so it became solid as soon as he put his foot on it. If we are to operate in the same spiritual authority, we need to understand how to administrate those things. Zero point energy is an energy source which actually impacts this realm and keeps this whole realm functioning. If there was no power coming from the spiritual realm into the natural realm, it would completely collapse. You know, if you had electrons going around a nucleus in an atom with no power coming from outside, it would collapse into the middle because there would be nothing to sustain it. So when they experimented and looked to find a vacuum where they thought nothing would be moving in it, they discovered there was kinetic energy within the vacuum. So they then thought, okay, some smart guy decided, well, nothing moves at 0 point energy, which is, I think, minus 269 degrees centigrade or something. And they froze this vacuum, and basically there's still kinetic energy in it. Because everything at the smallest particle size, which is Planck's constant, effectively moves in and out of that spiritual realm. Now, when we know and how to use that, we can do things which is called quantum tunneling. It means you can go into a spiritual realm and come out of the spiritual realm somewhere else in the world, which is why trans relocation takes place. It's like, you know, they fired photons at a lead screen. Nothing can go through a lead screen. And they put a detector on the other side of the lead screen, and they detected photons going through the lead screen. Well, it's impossible that they went through the lead screen, so what was happening? They were non-local, and they came out, oops, they came out on the other side. They came out on the other side. There's very things like that, that the quantum realm is not subject to the same laws of time and space as the relative realm. Jesus understands that. One sugar cube of 0 point energy from that realm powers 400 billion galaxies. The spiritual realm is so vastly superior to the natural one. But God has called us to operate in the authority of the spiritual realm. It's like Jesus used that authority when he passed through people. You know, it's like in Sunday school, you know, we were taught, okay, Jesus, they were going to throw him off the peak of Nazareth and because they didn't like what he did in the synagogue or whatever. And, you know, Jesus passed through the people as if they parted and he walked out. It's like they were going to throw him off. They weren't going to let him go. He passed through them. So he was able to control the vibrational frequency of his body. He was able to go into the non-local realm, come out on the other side into the local realm again. You know, essentially, everything exists because we observe it. And they've proven that our conscious thoughts can control reality. And they tested this by having electrons that were spinning in a particular direction. And they would ask the person to look at the electrons and decide before they looked which way they were going to spin, clockwise or anti-clockwise. And determining what they said and thought, it was actually so. So the same things that for one person were spinning clockwise, for the next person were spinning anti-clockwise. Because their conscious thought changed that reality. That's why we will be able to use that revelation to control the things that happen in a city of refuge, in an embassy of heaven. We will have the authority to create and to effectively bring God's heavenly functions into the earthly function by controlling the quantum realm. And so energy sources won't be a problem. You know, nothing will be a problem when we learn to function from a supernatural dimension of government. So understanding frequency and vibration, observation, are really, really important. You know, so there are things which in that realm are instantly connected. You know, they did experiments by taking matched pairs of electrons and separating them. They sent some of them out on one of the Voyager spacecrafts, I think, and they then tested a electron pair on the Earth, and instantly the same thing happened millions of miles away, which isn't possible without the connection being made in a non-local realm, which is outside of our creative light speed, which determines how fast things happen. Heaven operates on a higher light speed of creative light. Now, ultimately, eternity operates on the highest speed of light, which is God himself. And no one can attain that speed without going back into his heart in eternity. But heaven has its own time frame, which is faster than this one, which is why it's, everything's always available there for us. So, but we need to learn how to do those things. You know, God showed me how to do certain miracles. I don't do them because I have no need to do them. But when I do have need to do them, I will be able to. I will be able to walk through a wall, just like Jesus did when he walked into the disciples and came through the wall. Now, I know how to do that. I know how to match my vibrational frequency with that of something else. It's like, I don't need to do it, and I wouldn't do it because it's not a party trick. But we need to learn how to do those things. I started practicing focusing what was inside of me to flow through me. So I was asking God, well, how do I start to practice doing some of these things? So I started thinking about my faith gate in my spirit. And I was asking God, well, what do I need to do to activate that faith gate? And he said, well, you need something to put faith into. So I started thinking, well, okay, what do I do? Well, I like praying for people to get healed or something like that. So I was thinking, okay, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. There's something that activates faith. So what do I do with that? Okay, well, I'll focus it through that gate. God spoke to me that his grace, which is his divine enabling power, is the vibrating strings that are in everything. So in my hand, his grace is there, available. It's vibrating in my hand. But to activate it, you have to mix faith with grace. So what happened when I was focusing this flow of through my faith gate, I would be thinking about my hand so I could lay hands on people, and immediately when those things mix, anointing forms, a charge of energy or power. And literally when I lay hands on people, it gets hot. Or sometimes there's electricity that happens because I'm focusing grace and faith to produce anointing, a charge of energy to focus that into people's lives. Now, when I then do that, I just don't lay hands on somebody and sort of think, oh, well, I hope something happens. I actually are looking to see into the frequency that's going on in their body to actually see where this needs to target. So if someone's organ is operating at a lower frequency, I want to raise that frequency by providing an anointing that touches into it. You can do the same things with the words, because Jesus didn't just lay hands on people, he spoke. You can carry words that have within it a vibrating frequency that will actually change someone's DNA, will actually change someone's cells. When you speak and focus that energy, faith and grace within your words, producing anointing which will change things. When we're going to operate in cities of refuge and things like this, we're going to have to learn a whole new way of living. And we're going to have to learn to operate from a heavenly realm of authority, understanding frequency, vibration, understanding how to do those things. Jesus multiplied food. You know, Jesus actually created various things. You know, when you look at all the things he did and the way he did them, they are an example for us that we need to follow. Most people just hope something's going to happen. Now, that's okay when we're children and we just pray and by faith we hope something happens. And quite often God's grace is enough and he does do things in spite of our ignorance and lack of understanding because he's so wonderfully gracious and loving. You know, and I've done some stupid things in my life and I've still seen him do amazing things as a result of it, even when I've been totally clueless. But as we mature as sons of God, we're co-heirs of the kingdom to do things the same way that he did them. And he is the one who created and sustains the whole thing. And the whole universe is held together by the voice of his power. The whole universe is held together by the fact that he is observing it. So we need to expand our understanding of our consciousness to be able to act like he does. So we have the power of conscious thought so we can actually see creativity released. And we will do a lot of those things when we're operating under an open heaven and heaven is manifested on the earth. See, in the garden that Adam and Eve were placed into, it gave up its fruit. When they went outside of the garden, they had to work by the sweat of their brow because the ground no longer responded to them. Jesus has come as the second Adam to undo everything the first Adam did incorrectly, so that creation again will respond to sons of God. So when Adam spoke to the animals and gave them names, he created their form. That's the power that Adam had. Adam had the power to use light and sound. You know, we lost that power through various stages of human existence. God is going to restore it. There are supernatural abilities that are encoded within our DNA that are going to be unlocked, which is why in the communion prayers, I talk about releasing those triggers that will unveil our ability to see and move in the spiritual realm, to move and engage light and sound, to restore all those powers. I love superhero movie films, X-Men and stuff like that. Because again, it's picking up something of a prophetic portal atmosphere that's actually going to be who we're going to be. So like those supernatural abilities that Adam had and would have had if he hadn't have messed up, because there were more of them that would have been released as he was conformed to the image of God, we will get restored. So when I watch those things, it just inspires me to believe there's so much more coming. Now, the enemy is trying to do that in a counterfeit way. And he's trying to create transhumans and add genetic material and mix human genes with other genes and all this sort of stuff, because he wants to create super soldiers and all that sort of stuff. Whereas God is going to release the supernatural abilities that are encoded there, because we're now operating in sonship. We're going to need all that to operate embassies of heaven on the earth. And that was a long rabbit trail, but... So I started to see legions of angels being released into the Southwest, and they had particular targets. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Palm Springs, other places that I don't know the names of. But they had targets, and they were going, releasing calls to accept these blueprints that were coming out of heaven. And they're waiting, those angels are waiting to be received by us, by you. You know, I've already received my blueprints, but it's like God is waiting for you to receive your blueprints. Those angels have been released. They're waiting for you to connect, to start calling out and saying, "Here am I, send me." So those targets have been acquired, and the hearts who've been wandering the wilderness are some of the people God is targeting. He's wanting to draw people out of the wilderness. The weapons that he's going to release are going to engage people who are dissatisfied, disillusioned, hopeless, and disparate, are fed up with religion. Most of them are either in churches and are bored, or are left churches and are going nowhere. And he's going to start to draw people with a new hope. So they're coming, what I call love bombs. There's a house in heaven which is called the House of Weapons. Now, I had a preconceived idea what might have been in there when I went there. I thought, oh yeah, swords and spears and all this stuff. And there were these love bombs. I mean, there were these like golden globules of stuff ready to be poured out. And they were going to release new hope and new vision and experiences of heaven, which are going to touch people's hearts in a whole new way. So I started to call forth the boundary stones for the perimeter of the US, which is that whole map, you know. And I started to say, God, well, what next? Because, you know, I've been into all four corners now. And it's just like, well, what do you want to do next? And it's like, he said he wanted to touch the spine of the nation and the heart of the nation. So I don't know exactly what that means, but you know, I've got an inkling. So basically, I want to call forth the government for the Southwest of the US. The government of God needs to be established here. The Moses generation are no longer in governmental authority. The mantle has been removed from them. Who's going to pick it up? Who's going to become Joshua, who took Moses' mantle and did things in a totally different way? You know, God is looking for people to volunteer in the day of his power. You know, he's looking for people who are here to say yes. 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 So I started to call for benches of heavenly government to arise, for a whole new order ecclesia and embers of heaven to start to form. I call for the release of scrolls, for the blueprints, for the mandates, for the storehouses. Sorry. So I mean, when I do this sort of stuff, I mean, I just do it. You know, I've no idea what I'm saying until afterwards when I've recorded it, and then I look back and think, oh, right, that's what it was about. Because I get a move in my spirit. It's like my spirit just gets caught up in the heart of God. When I go and stand in eternity and I start to frame things from God's eternal perspective, you know, I'm not limited by what I can say and what I can do and what I can call for. So I'm calling for the lion to roar, which is with governmental order, and I'm calling for the eagle to soar with legislative authority. And that's what God wants to establish. You know, a royal priesthood in heaven agreeing so that on earth we can actually see foundations of heavenly blueprints form. So I'm calling for the oracles of heaven to be released and the word and the spirit to be in union. God wants to bring the word and the spirit in union in us. So I started to call things. So I'm really concerned about those in the wilderness. I'm really concerned about those who are missing out on their inheritance. You know, and I said before I engaged the love of God in eternity, I was really just frustrated with people for not getting it. But actually now I'm just moved with compassion because I want them to get it so much. I don't want people to miss out on receiving the wonderful love of God and the wonderful heavenly experiences of being sons of God. You know, and carry on being good stewards. There are so many good stewards in churches and in the religious institutions serving God faithfully to the level of revelation that they've got. Good stewardship. And God honors that. He's not against that. But he's calling them to come into friendship with him. And part of the problem, people are so busy being good stewards, they're not listening to God to calling them to come and be friends. Because Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Because God reveals his heart to friends. See, stewards can be told, I want you to do this. I want you to do it here. And I want you to do it when. But they very often never hear why. And God wants to reveal the why. He wants to reveal his heart. He wants to reveal it to friends. And friends can then become lords. And lords can become kings. And we can administrate sonship in the realms of heaven by outworking, having charge of the courts of heaven. So I started to call for those with evangelical streams to hear the true oracles of heaven and to experience the true living word of God. Because they're stuck in the word. I want the word to become alive to them. I want the word to jump out of the page and smack them around the face with a vision. Because God can do that. But it's got to be people who are willing to administrate that and start calling for it. So I'm calling for it. I'm calling for God to reach and touch those people. So I start to call for those in the charismatic streams to experience the true and full expression of the Spirit of God, which is not limited to speaking in tongues and prophesying a little bit. It's engaging in the fullness of walking in the Spirit, in the spiritual realm. When in Revelation 4, John had amazing visions of heaven in the first three chapters. He saw into heaven, he spoke what he saw, amazing things. Then he was given the invitation, come up here. And immediately he was in the Spirit. God is calling us to be in the Spirit, not just filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit, as wonderful as that is, to be in the Spirit, operating in heavenly sonship in a totally different dimension of authority and power. So I started to call for evangelical and charismatic to join the Orthodox Church in a true unity and unison of the order of Melchizedek. Because God wants to draw people together so that we can start operating in heavenly royal priesthood authority. So I started to call for the streams of men to become joined to the river of life and a torrent of glory to be released into the earth. So, I mean, I have great fun doing this stuff. It's like, you know, it's great to be releasing the creativity of your spirit from the perspective of God's eternal heart. You know, I'm not making it up. It's just flowing out of God's desire. He so loves the world. He so loves us. He so loves all his people. And he hates it when people are robbed. Because what does the enemy want to do? Rob, kill, and destroy. What does God want to do? Give us abundant life. Overflowing, lavish abundance. God said this to me a while ago. He said, "Son, come and stand in the Council of the 70 as an ambassador." Now, I've been in the Council of 70 and, you know, I've presented court cases and done things there. And he said, "Set boundary stones for the southwest of the US and UK for the perimeter that will form the environment for the Joshua generation to arise and occupy as pioneers." So I've been doing that. Set the boundary stones in place for the area to call forth the benches for the local blueprints to be established. Now, I'm going to issue that call tonight, because you need, some people here need to respond to it, without a doubt. So I call forth for those who will be in the sound for their areas, cities, and regions. You need to carry a sound, heaven sound, so that people can start to resonate with the frequency you start to vibrate at. Because you're going to start to vibrate at a higher frequency, carrying heaven's frequency. It's a sound which is not a physical, natural sound, but it's going to touch people and draw people and engage people when you start to radiate that sound, emanate that sound, radiate light. Again, he's looking for people to say, "Yeah, I'm willing." A call for them to be strongly planted in identity and heavenly authority. You need to know who you are and you need to know your position before you can carry that sound. So I call forth, for me, this is the three places I've been going, for the San Diego, LA, and Phoenix, for the government of God to arise. But it applies to the whole of the Southwest and beyond, you know, if anyone else will listen to this at some stage. So I started to, again, release a nice blue light, you know, like I've done before, for the boundary stones to receive their scrolls and their mantles. I release the ordinances of heaven to engage by encounters in dreams, visions, and visitations. I want that to open up. I call for the judgments to be delivered, to justice to be done for the new order. So I call for the blueprint for the Southwest to come forth and the governmental strategies to be released. I call for revelation of the wells of fire to be unveiled. I call for the walls of fire, the pillars of fire to be established. So, we need to look at Embassy of Heaven. I haven't started yet, have I? Okay, well, I'm going to... In San Diego, it only took me 5 minutes to do that. It's taking me longer here. But I only do what you draw out of me. So I guess you need to hear some of that stuff. So that's my excuse anyway. So basically, we are the embassies of heaven, sons of the kingdom, to colonize this world. That's what Adam and Eve were called to do. Genesis 1:28. Now, I got stuck on this verse in San Diego for an hour and a half. I obviously can't do that tonight. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. He empowered them to succeed. He is empowering you to succeed, to prosper, to fulfill your destiny. And he said to them, you must hear God speak to you. You must hear his voice, because it's his voice that causes faith to arise in your heart that will enable that empowerment to take place. Be fruitful. Now, what does being fruitful mean? I don't know. It's whatever it means for you. It's fulfilling your destiny. Fruitfulness for me is fulfilling what God has called me to do on a daily basis. So whenever I get a mandate from God, which I do every day, I go and seek him around the ark of the presence of God and ask, what am I authorized to do today? The desire is, I am empowered to be fruitful. So that will produce the fruit of that which I've been called to do. And to multiply. I don't want to remain alone. I want to disciple others so they can disciple others so they can disciple others until we fill the earth with the glory of God. You know, because it only takes 32 years to reach the whole world for Jesus. If I reach two people a year, and they reach two people a year, and they reach two people. In 32 years, sounds mad, you can reach the whole world, billions of people. You could actually have revivals that reach hundreds of thousands of people, and it wouldn't do the same thing. God does not want to bring revivals like he's done before. He wants now to give us responsibility as his children to outwork our responsibility as ambassadors. Revivals were when we were immature and God had to do it for us. When we start to do it as his children, it's a maturity of the sons of God who are manifested on the earth to bring restoration to creation and answer creation's groan. He's looking for mature sons. You know, God is so gracious that he's done such amazing things in our immaturity. But he's basically saying, and you know, for years I would ask him to do certain things. And eventually he spoke to me and said, stop asking me to do the things that I've already authorized you to do, because I'm not going to do them anymore. So you better learn. So I took that seriously. Because we have to fill the earth. That's our mandate, to fill the earth. How are we going to fill the earth? Well, we can radiate the glory of God and the river of life can flow through us just like it did through Adam's garden. It split into four rivers and filled the earth. So we have rivers of living water flowing through us because we're gateways of heaven on earth. So in that sense, we can begin to expand the government of the territory that we possess to occupy. And we can do that corporately as embassies of heaven and start to expand. Because an embassy of heaven is not there as a refuge to keep us safe. It's there as a place to colonize, to establish administrative government that gives you the authority to go and expand, because there's no end to the increase of his government and of peace. So we need to fill the earth with the glory of God, a manifestation of sonship. You know, I've read it to you a number of times, but it says that the earth will be set free from its corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We have to start manifesting glory. It's God's glory, but it comes through us as his sons. You know, we're supposed to be transfigured to radiate the glory of God into the earth. And yes, we're going to have to subdue it. There's a whole lot of opposition that doesn't want us to do that. Well, we're called overcomers for a reason. We have to overcome. We're called more than conquerors for a reason, because we need to conquer. So we have to subdue. We have to learn to rule in such a way that we overcome all the obstacles. Now, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and tell it to move. Now, a mountain is a sphere of authority. So if there are mountains in our way, we have to learn to speak to them and tell them to move, because we carry a higher level of authority. So we need to learn to subdue and overcome. We're not going to do it like we've done it before. We're not going to do it by trying to fight and battle the enemy. Spiritual warfare and how it's been done is not going to work again. We have to come with heavenly governmental authority from the courts of heaven, with mandates from heaven, verdicts from heaven, from the judge that gives us authorization to change things. And then we enforce that verdict with the authority, because we rule and the enemy is under our feet. You cannot deal with the atmosphere of the earth and the principalities and powers and rulers and thrones and dominions and all the other things that are there from below. Everyone who's tried has probably got damaged, burnt out, worn out, and hurt. Because you can't deal with something that you're under. That's why Jesus said, put the enemy under your feet, because he'll no way hurt you there. Well, if you start fighting with him, hand-to-hand battle, he'll hurt you. Now, the only hand-to-hand fighting I do with the enemy is casting demons out of people, because I have authority to do that, as you do, because we've been instructed we can cast out demons. So I'm no problem doing a little bit of hand-to-hand stuff and casting out demons, but when it comes to the other things, I have to deal with the authority that's in heaven first. Then I have the authority to outwork that on the earth. So we must learn to use the court system of heaven to start getting legislative documents that give us authority to rule, which is why I'm producing legislation all the time. I authorize people to use that legislation on their behalf so that they then can actually take that authority and use it for their own lives. You know, whatever I do, I don't keep it to myself. You know, I give it away. But then it says we have to rule over. Now, ruling is not ruling over people and controlling and dominating people. It's ruling over the atmosphere and creating an atmosphere that resembles the garden that God gave Adam. An atmosphere of paradise. Paradise restored on the earth as God intended. Adam was sinless but not perfected. So we still have to go through the process of conformation into the image of sonship. That's a process of transformation, transfiguration, metamorphosis, whatever you want to use. It's not automatic, and it doesn't happen with a magic wand, and it doesn't happen through laying on of hands. Maturity comes through growth. Fruitfulness comes through growth. We have to learn to embrace our position as sons and receive the blessing and empowerment of God, which comes in heaven, which is where Jesus was. That's why his kingdom will come onto the earth as it is in heaven. You know, I just love the fact that we're now involved in the as it is. We get to establish that from our positions of sonship, kingship, lordship in the realms of heaven. Awesome stuff. So we need to make earth like heaven. That was always God's intention from Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve walked in both gardens and were able to see what that garden went. But they followed the wrong path. Now we need to follow the right path. We need to engage the tree of life and engage the right path and start to release heaven onto the earth once again. Now, this is actually where I was going to start talking about embassies, but obviously not going to be able to do that. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. That's all of us. God is using us to answer creation's groan and people's groans with the truth, to reconcile to God. Paul said in Ephesians 6:20, I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming the kingdom I may speak boldly. You know, we have to take our ambassadorship seriously. But ambassadors belong in an embassy. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another. Now that's a mouthful of a dictionary definition. But what it's really saying is that heaven appoints us to be its ambassadors on the earth, and we carry the authority of heaven, not the authority of earth. Because you are authorized as a messenger or a representative. That's what an ambassador is. An agent, an apostolic delegate, a messenger, a minister, an emissary. They're all definitions of ambassador. Colossians 1:3 says he's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. So we're living as citizens now. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. So we're citizens of heaven, carrying heaven's authority in the earth. So we're not subject to the world's laws. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom living on the earth. That's what an ambassador is. Jesus said in John 15:19, if you're of the world would love its own. Because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world. We live in another realm. But we're here to bring that realm into the world. Because then in John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So we've been sent into the world carrying heaven's authority, representing heaven. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, because there is no end to the increase of his government and peace. And we must come from a place of rest. As the Father sent me, I also send you. This makes us ambassadors, citizens of another kingdom, heaven, but living on the earth as gateways of that kingdom, heaven, on the earth, bringing heaven to the earth. That is God's intention for us. So we are the highest ranking officials of heaven's kingdom, and we take our orders and get our authority from heaven and not the earth. We're protected by heavenly protection. Our provision comes from heaven. We live by the laws of heaven. The economy and political system is heavenly, not earthly. It's like we're ambassadors of the UK based in China or the US. When you are, let's say, a UK ambassador in the US or China, embassy is British soil, isn't it? It's protected by British troops taking orders from Whitehall, our governmental centre, representing British interest, operating under British laws and British culture. That's the reality of even an earthly embassy. So when we're establishing a heavenly embassy, we're protected by heavenly troops. We have angelic legions at our disposal. We take our orders from heaven. We're representing heaven's interests, and we're operating under heaven's law and culture. So that means we need to be constantly in contact with heaven, which is why we must live in dual realms. We're tasked with more than just representing the interests of heaven. Our task is to be citizens of heaven, carrying heaven's authority, exercising that authority over the spheres that all of us have been given. Therefore, we need to present ourselves to God as living sacrifice daily so that we can demonstrate God's power and authority through our kingship of who we are as sons of God. You represent one kingdom living in another. Now, for too long, we've been living under the laws of the earth and subject to them. That has to change. The only way it can change if you start to live in heaven. So you start to engage heaven and get heaven's authority, heaven's mandates on a daily basis, and then begin to outwork them. Live by the laws of heaven. So an ecclesia is like an embassy territory on foreign soil, and we are the ecclesia. So it's through us. It's not a structure or organization, it's through people. You need to know you're protected by heavenly authority. So don't be influenced by earthly culture, society, customs. We're here to influence them and transform them. So we live under the your kingdom authority of heaven. Therefore, we have a new health service. You know, healing is our inheritance. Health is actually our inheritance. We have a new economic and new financial services, heavenly ones. All the resources of heaven is available for us to fulfill God's mandate to us. If you have a heavenly mandate, you have heavenly resources available. We live under a new governmental system. Find what that says. Education system. Yippee. Well done. Just a little test. Now I've got to see it. Carry on. Whoops. Oh, I'm now lost. Okay, let's go back to that. Okay. New society. We're not going to live under the society we're in now. We want paradise restored. What would have happened if Adam and Eve had continued in Eden would be what we want to see now. You know, people say, oh, we want to go back to New Testament Christianity. Seriously? You know, they messed up big time. You know, they ended up leading us into the Dark Ages. It's like, we want to go back to God's original heavenly eternal purpose. So we're going to have new speech, new attitudes, new ideals, new everything. Now, essentially, attitudes, behavior, abilities, powers, because heaven is going to be transforming the earth. We're going to learn to be terraformers. We're going to terraform the planet back to original condition. You know, it's like, I remember which one it was, Star Trek 3, I think it was. You know, they had the Genesis Project. You know, sent out this thing and terraformed a whole planet. Well, it's like, that's who we are. We're sons of God. God spoke this planet into existence. He's given us authority to bring it back into its original condition, to answer creation's groan. So to do that, we need heavenly governmental authority. And this is the key to whether we're going to succeed in this or not. There has to be a new pattern of government. It cannot be earthly as it's been. It must be a reflection of heaven, which in heaven there's Father, Son, and Spirit, a bench of three. carrying heavenly mandates and blueprints, foundational servant-hearted leaders who will release people to be living stones. You know, this is why we cannot keep producing mountains that give people no opportunity of going anywhere because people sit on the top. People cannot get to heaven when people are above them, covering them. We must be this. Because where that goes, there's no limit. People can go right into the very realms of heaven to engage that. Bottom up, not top down. No mediatorial coverings that restrict access to God and heaven. This is what the old system did. There were heavenly blueprints, absolutely. People who were visionary got those blueprints and they formed a shadow, but that shadow they built a mountain on and they sat on top of it. That governmental system is what has been judged, and God has found it wanting, and it does not reflect him or heaven, and he has removed the authority from it. So now we need to come into heaven as priests and kings, the royal priesthood, form an agreement with God to manifest blueprints on the earth so that the apostolic legislation and the prophetic oracles can form foundations to people to build on, so that heaven is a reflection, earth's a reflection of heaven. So then this is what actually should happen. We have Father, Son and Spirit as a bench of three. He has a blueprint for everything. Your life, this area, this region, for every city of refuge, it should be here. He shines his light from heaven onto a blueprint. When you do that, you form a shadow. That shadow needs to have a reflection of government, which means benches of three, whether it's in my own life, spirit, soul and body, or a church, city, region, is the foundation on which everything is built. Then that releases everybody to hear God, to engage heaven for themselves. That's actually what God is looking to outwork. We have the authority to speak on behalf of God. We're his sons. You have supernatural power, all the power of heaven at your disposal. But you can't do it unless you engage there. When the Romans took an area, they sent 300 Roman citizens to invade that territory after the soldiers had gone in and taken the ground, and they set up something called a castrapone. Now, so God gave us this word as a prophetic word a number of years ago. Now, I'm not a linguist. Fortunately, Jeremy, who's my friend who does most of the blog stuff for me, transcribing what I say, making it sound really good. It didn't sound as good when I said it, I guarantee. But he got this word and he looked it up, found out. What happened was, when the Romans did this, they set up an administrative base, an embassy. And what they did, they then started to influence for dominion. You know, going back to another favourite Star Trek thing, you know, the Borg. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. And if we operate correctly, bringing heaven to earth, people won't resist. People will long to come to a people, as I shared this afternoon, who are living within a hedge of God's protection, carrying God's authority in praise and submission. People will long to come to a people who are demonstrating the heart and love and power of God. They've just not seen enough authentic Christianity. You know, there's some good stuff around. I'm not knocking it. I've been blessed by so much of what's been of the past. The majority of it has now got stuck in the wilderness and will not cross because they've invested too much building mountains in the wilderness that have become big business. And they're not willing to let go of their reputation to embrace something new. Now I'm desperately calling that they will hear the voice of God, because some of them have been in heaven. They're just not encouraging anyone else. And some of them are actually giving a bad report. And they're stopping people going. Now God wants to actually set up places on earth that will actually cause people to want to come to the light. Therefore we must arise and shine. We've got to carry the glory of God and manifest the glory of God on the earth. Colonization is our mission. That's what we're about. You know, we must not be content with seeing a few people saved here and there. We must see a billionfold harvest. We need to see that harvest come into the storehouses, which we're going to set up. We're going to see that harvest equipped, discipled, given their full inheritance as sons, carrying heaven's government, and go out into the world to see the harvest of the whole world. God is not going to be content with a billionfold harvest when there are 7 billion people on the planet. He will not be content. His heart is that none would perish, and that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. And when it says knowledge of the truth, it means an experiential encounter with the truth, not just information. So when we set up embassies of earth, we're not going to be disseminating pieces of information through pamphlets and tracts. We're going to be demonstrating the kingdom in signs and wonders and miracles, and not just the ones that we've seen already. You know, we have a precedent for so many supernatural things. The Joshua generation stopped the sun and gave themselves a longer day. Why not? We can do those sorts of things. Everything you see in the Word of God is a precedent for you to do it. So if we do need water, we can get it to come out of a rock, out of the ground. It's like, we can do anything like that. We can actually call for quails to come and land. I don't want quails, they're too small, and chickens or turkeys or something, to come and turn up so that we've got food all the time. Why not? That was the wilderness stuff. You know, it's like we can expect our fruit to be in season the whole year, because that's what the tree of life is in, season all year. You know, we can expect, if we're planted by rivers of living water, like oaks of righteousness, to have leaves that never wither and fruit that never fails. That's who we are. We need to start living who we really are. Now, ultimately, every ecclesia should be a colony of heaven on the earth. And sometimes groups of ecclesia are going to come together to form cities of refuge or embassies of heaven. Sometimes it will be one embassy. But you need a blueprint to establish that on the earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm going to leave it there, but I want to finish with an activation, because I want to see some of those blueprints land. You know, I want to see you go into the courts of heaven tonight and actually getting some blueprints and authorizations from heaven, if you're up for that. So basically, again, I just want to encourage you to relax. Don't strive to see. Don't strive to engage. Just relax and by faith engage. And if you see, wonderful. If you perceive, great. If you just know what's going on or sense or have a perception, great. But by faith, receive it tonight. God wants to give you tonight mandates and blueprints from heaven. He wants to authorize those in the courts of heaven, so you have authority to use them on the earth. So we have an open heaven. Jacob's ladder is always there, going up from earth to heaven. We have an invitation to come up here. So by faith, I just ask, Father, just draw each of us to take that step of faith. Step into the realm through the veil, the open door that's available for us. I just thank you, Jesus, that you're standing there in the doorway as Lord. We come, present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. You're our high priest. Just prepare us tonight to receive the scrolls and the mandates that you intend. I ask that you will just guide each person. Take each person by the hand. Bring us to that place where we can engage with you to receive authorization. That authorization we need to experience your kingdom, to experience your presence. So I ask Jesus right now that you take us through the veils. Take us through the veils of the way and the truth. Take us through into the realm of your kingdom. I ask that you would take us to the court of kings. that we can stand before the court and that you would release the scrolls from the scroll room of heaven that authorize the establishment of embassies of heaven on earth, ecclesias, for this region of the Southwest, for LA, for Orange County, for every area represented here. I just encourage you, just stand by faith in the court of kings and receive a scroll in boldness. Present yourselves to God with a willingness in your heart to embrace God's plan and purpose for you, for this region, for this area. I just call for the scrolls to be released for the Southwest. Some of you are called to be boundary stones for this region, who will carry the frequency of heaven, set the perimeter of this region. I ask that you will impart to people's spirits that frequency of your word, the mandate for their lives tonight. Just receive that scroll. Receive that authorization. Receive that mandate. If God gives you a blueprint, just put it into your spirit. Whatever you receive, just by faith, accept it. Don't try and figure it out. Just accept that you've been called. You've been chosen to be ambassadors. Ambassadors live in embassies, storehouses of heaven on the earth, ready for the harvest. So I call for the Joshua, Joseph, Daniel, and Enoch spirit to rise up in each person here. That Joseph spirit, that God would take you out of the prison of obscurity and bring you into a place of government for this area, this region. So Jesus, I ask that you just lead us through this process of establishing authorized heavenly government. So just lead us to the Court of Chancellors. And when you come before the Court of Chancellors, present your scroll to the bench of Chancellors, that they will seal it with the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. I call for the men in white linen connected to each blueprint, each person, to reveal themselves and stand with you in agreement. Just be open to engage with those that are assigned. Heaven is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. They've been longing for the time when people would volunteer to take their positions of heavenly authority and receive the mandates to bring transformation to the earth. The earth groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Just receive your authorization. And Jesus, I ask you just lead us to the Court of Scribes, where we can take that blueprint that we've received, every mandate that we've received tonight, and we submit it to the Court of Scribes, that it will be written into record, into the record room of heaven, that you have been authorized to establish an embassy an ecclesia, whatever you've been authorized to do, to be a boundary stone, to carry heaven's sound, to arise, shine. As the scribes write it into record, you can access the record room of heaven to find existing legislation written for your area, your region. Also, you can see the things that have been recorded about the region that you need to take authority over. As the scribes record into the statutes of heaven your authorization, heaven recognizes your authority. The angelic realm recognizes your authority. So Jesus, just take us now. Take our scroll, authorized, agreed, into the statutes to come before the court of angels. Present your scroll and see the legions of angels that respond, that are drawn to your assignment, ministering spirits on behalf of those who are inheritors of salvation, winds and fire. I call for the angels who carry the torches of fire to start to put a torch to the well, where pillars of fire will begin to form. For those of you who have a knowledge and experience of your mountain position of government in heaven, you can just go to your mountain, take your scroll, start to call forth, legislate for government, for benches of 3 to form, benches of 7 to form, for those blueprints to land on the earth, and for God's government to be established. For those of you who've never been to your mountain, just take your seat on the throne of the mountain of your position of heavenly government and let Jesus give you a crown and a scepter and a mantle and invest you with the authority of lordship to begin to administrate the kingdom from heaven into the earth. Just take your place, seated with Christ in heavenly places, positioned as a son with authority and power. Everyone here is called and chosen, appointed by God to produce abundant fruit, blessed, empowered to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue and to rule. Just accept the authority and the position of government, and by faith continue to release that sound. And this exercise activation is just the first step. Everyone needs to continue to pursue outworking God's kingdom, outworking their authority. Things don't happen overnight. you have a follow-up process, establish relationship, connect with people, call forth people to come together. You know, I think it's a great opportunity for people who gathered here today to continue meeting with one another, continuing to pursue what God has, whether it's for your area, wherever you are within this region. You know, God's done something, things have landed. It's now your responsibility to take that up and use it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay.